Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and AP Katie with Jake Gutierrez. It is Wednesday. It's hump day. A little day Jake refers to as payday.
Boom!
Oh, yeah. Let's go spend that money.
Straight to Vegas.
We go spend that money.
Already lost. Already spent.
Pay my guy.
What? No. It's not hump day. It's Tuesday, but it's hump day for us. Because it's a short week, and we get over the hump here, and then it's the day before the game, then we're out of the game.
Then
game
day.
Week's different.
And then Friday's recap.
Friday don't matter.
Nah. Well, it matters. It's just going to be easy. We have a Chiefs game to talk about. Did a preview. Recap.
Tuesday, October 15, 2019. Still payday, whatever. Now, Nate Bucati, introduce this next guest, please.
So our next guest is a former Kansas Jayhawk football player who is near and dear to my heart because, you know, Kansas used to be decent in football, Stephen. I know it's true. The kids out there might not know it.
Go on.
They won the Orange Bowl back in 2007, and Micah Brown was a walk-on at the time, I believe, and was on special teams and caught a fake punt pass that I believe was from Brandon McAnderson, a buddy of ours who's been on the show a few times, that went for a first down against Virginia Tech. One of the most important plays of that unforgettable game that I was on the sidelines for at the time. And I think he earned himself a scholarship as a football player after that and has gone on to have a really, really interesting and successful career in the filmmaking industry. If you remember, you and I had him on when he did a documentary about the Thai prison fighting system where you can fight your way out of prison in Thailand. And now he's got a documentary coming out, a 30 for 30 on ESPN tonight. So Micah Brown is our guest on the show right now. Micah, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Nate. How you doing, Nate? How you doing, Steven? Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show, man. And so we're excited to see the new 30 for 30 about Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell. And I've had the opportunity to I've interviewed Chuck Liddell before, and I met Tito Ortiz a couple of years ago when he was in town for a meet and greet at an Invicta card when one of his fighters was on the card. And obviously two of the greatest personalities and best fighters in UFC history. And so let's just start there. Tell us how you became involved in this 30 for 30 about Tito and Chuck.
You know, very early on, I knew I wanted to do an MMA documentary, specifically UFC. I knew that 30 for 30 had never done it, and that's kind of one of the things that gets me excited is doing things that nobody's done before. And so this is the first UFC documentary for this 30 for 30 series. So when I was looking at that, I was looking at what story kind of tells the origin of the sport, but not in like a boring historical way. So I started looking at who the godfathers of this sport were, and clearly Chuck and Tito were two of the guys who helped propel the UFC to be what it is today and help grow the sport. And so it was kind of an easy decision there, and then very quickly got the guys on board, and we were off and running. I think this thing got greenlit in the first conversation that we had with 30 for 30.
So do you have contacts with the people at ESPN? I mean, how difficult is the process to try to pitch something to them if you don't? And I guess maybe are you already plugged into that network of people?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really plugged in. ESPN's one of my biggest clients, and so I have personal relationships with all of the executives there and, you know, different producers there and everything. And so it happened really easily. Generally, there's a two-year waiting line to be able to do a 30 for 30, and you have to, I think they take something like 400 pitches, you know, a year. And that's, you know, pretty significant competition. But with how great this story was and our relationships up there, we were able to push this thing through, which was pretty great.
So tell people what maybe a preview of what we're going to see tonight in this 30 for 30 about this great rivalry.
Yeah, and so the story centers around Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz and Dana White. Chuck and Tito were both managed by Dana White before he was the president of the UFC. So he was their manager. Tito was winning the belt. Tito was the champion at the time, and Chuck was kind of coming up as his sparring partner. Well, as most sparring partners do in the fight game, Chuck eventually deserved it and wanted a shot at the title, but his friend Tito Ortiz wouldn't give it to him. And so that kind of started rubbing the wrong way with Chuck. Well, Zuffa, the Fertitta's company, and Dana White end up buying the UFC for $2 million. And Dana becomes the president. And now with Dana as the president, he basically tries to pressure Tito into fighting Chuck. And the rivalry begins. And so this story is kind of about the genesis of the UFC and how it became a $4.5 billion company and all the drama of the friendships between those three guys, you know, kind of fell apart. And it kind of begs the question, was it all worth it?
How much did you get into their last fight, which took place in November of last year under the banner of Golden Boy Promotions? Because look, we've you know, I have a long background in boxing, and I'm involved in MMA quite a bit in Kansas City, and so it's no surprise when there's a great fighter that stays in the game too long and is fighting against the advice of people that know better. But clearly, Chuck Liddell should not be fighting anymore, and I think most everyone feels that same way. So how much did you get into that? Because I thought that was a sad third chapter to that rivalry.
Yeah, so that was actually the thing that kind of springboarded me into doing this project, was when that fight was announced, I was like, oh man, we got to do this. You know, I'm a big fan, as a former athlete myself, with athletes trying to figure out what's next. And so we actually followed them for a month and a half leading up to that fight. And so we had a lot of stuff. What made the film was kind of just the final chapter. There were some there's some shots, and you get to see Chuck Liddell go through the process. It's not like a follow documentary as we kind of originally envisioned, just because of time. Other storylines popped up. But you do spend a significant amount of time with that third fight and get to see kind of, you know, the reality that's how a lot of fighters' careers end, as you mentioned. You know, they hang on too long, and they're the last ones to know that it's over.
You know, Michael, I remember us having you on back when you did the really compelling documentary about the I don't know what you call it, the Thai prison fighting system, where they basically, when you're in prison there, you have a chance to, through like, what is it, kickboxing, whatever, you get to fight to try to get yourself out of prison. There were some real moral conundrums with that story. I remember that. I mean, the guy that got out was in jail for a heinous murder that he had committed. And does that guy really deserve, is this a redemption story, or is this a story about a guy who's going to get a second chance that he doesn't really deserve? And I remember talking to you about that at the time, and you're listening to Steven talk about, you know, Chuck Liddell, maybe this is a guy that if people care about him, he shouldn't be in this ring right now fighting this. Your job is to tell the story, though. Is that difficult for you, or what is it like for you when you're watching something unfold? Your job is to tell the story of what's happening, but maybe there's some emotional conflicts that I would assume you're a human like anybody else that you're experiencing while you're watching this go down.
Yeah, I think the most difficult thing as a storyteller, especially in documentaries, is that you have to walk the line between being this person's best friend and also being objective. You know, and that you have to get to know them to a level to where you almost know them better than they know themselves. You know, and because you don't have the denial aspect of it, you have just the facts. You know, and so that gets to be very difficult, especially when the film, you know, is coming out and everybody feels like they know their own story. And, you know, you interview 40 some people to, you know, kind of cross reference what you believe about them and how you profile them. And it's almost like a psychology evaluation, you know, and it comes down to it. And some of that stuff is kind of hard for them to watch. And when they see themselves on camera, it's tricky. And the relationship side is always something that's very difficult, but it's something that I find, very rewarding, because I would say that, you know, at this point I'm friends with Chuck and Tito, and I think that they trust me, and it's been an honor to get to know these guys.
So maybe after spending so much time around them, and like you said, you describe yourself as a friend of each one of them. And again, Chuck and Tito tonight, 8 o'clock Central on ESPN, the 30 for 30 that should be fascinating for any MMA fan or even a sports fan. What did you or how you feel about them now or getting to know them compared to what you've thought of them before you began on this documentary? How did your perception of each of those guys change? Because, I mean, there's a lot of layers to both of those guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of fans have no idea and no concept of.
I think as a general thought on both of them, I think what I didn't expect was they would be so introspective and so open. I think that that's really special. I think when you generally think of fighters, you think of people that are really guarded, who want to protect a certain type of image. And that's true to a certain degree. But I think that it really said to me that everybody's looking for to be known, you know. And mm-hmm. So when you have a chance to sit down and talk to somebody, everybody is a human quality, wants to be known by somebody, whether it's a producer that's making a film on you or it's a real friend and not just like a party friend. You know, and I think that a lot of athletes live in this party culture where nobody really knows them, really nobody really asks about their backstory or who they are as people. And, you know, I think that was fun for me. Chuck Liddell, surprisingly really down earth and approachable. Nice guy. He's not like the killer that you see on TV. And Tito Ortiz, he's not going to like walk up and flip you off. He's just an entertainer. That's just what he does. That's his persona in the cage. He's actually a very, you know, kind person. And so it was fun to get to know those guys on a different level and really appreciate who they are as showmen.
So, Micah, how many times do you get asked about that fake punt in the Orange Bowl to this day?
Well, it was crazy. I was actually on the Adam Carolla show a couple days ago, and they were asking me about it. I'm like, man, this thing comes up nonstop. It's like the play that just keeps, you know, someday it's going to turn inside, you know, caught the ball and scored a touchdown. it's a great memory that I'll always have, and I owe that moment, you know, to Brandon McAnderson, honestly, because he had the presence to do it. So it's a great bond that we'll always have.
So now, were you involved in some of the Les Miles, Miles to Go documentaries that are airing every week on ESPN+?
Yeah, you know, in the very beginning, I shot a couple days on it, and I had planned to be involved with it a lot more. My schedule just got a little bit crazy, and so you know, I didn't want to overextend myself and have the show suffer, and so I stepped away from that project, and you know, just to kind of focus on this one and focus on some other things I got cooking. But it's been fun to kind of watch. It's been fun to be around. I've been around Les Miles a handful of times, and you know, gotten to hang out with his family, and I think he's a good man. And you know, I think that he's the right guy to turn this thing around. It's just, again, we keep preaching it to, you know, the KU fan base, patience, patience, patience. And I think we'll get it figured out.
Now, my final question for you about the documentary night, the 30 for 30, Chuck and Tito, which airs at 8 o'clock Central Time on ESPN. We have Micah Brown talking about his documentary. So I asked you about Chuck and Tito. What's your opinion of Dana White after working on this documentary? Because, boy, is he a polarizing figure in the world of MMA.
Polarizing is a nice way to put it, for sure. He's, you know, I had no problems with Dana. I'm also not a fighter. You know, when I came through, he was really generous and gave us a good, long interview. He was a gentleman to us. He shook our hand. You know, he made some jokes. You know, he was very professional. My overall take on Dana is I think he's probably the best promoter of all time. He knows how to sell a fight. He's a genius businessman. He is important to the UFC and the growth of the UFC. How he treats fighters, I don't necessarily agree with, in his demeanor and the way that he talks to people and about people. And I think you'll see a little bit of that in the documentary and the way that he speaks about Tito. But, you know, it's a fight game. You got to have thick skin, and everybody that gets in the fight game understands that.
Did you happen to get any comments on his opinion of Oscar De La Hoya after he promoted the third fight between Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell? Because I'm sure that is film worthy.
We definitely got some of his hot takes. Yeah.
But that was gold for the documentary. Uh-huh. You can follow Micah on Twitter. Micah Brown Film is his handle, and you can watch the 30 for 30 tonight on ESPN at 8 o'clock Central. It's Chuck and Tito. Can't wait to watch it, Mike. And thanks a lot for coming on the show to talk about it. And we appreciate your time. And congratulations on what looks like it's going to be just a terrific 30 for 30 tonight on ESPN.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It's an honor to be on the show.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Micah. And look forward to watching that tonight. It's fascinating, but it's also, again, it's sad because having been around Chuck Liddell in Lake Tahoe, how long has it been? It's a few years ago. Like then, I couldn't imagine him fighting again. And then when Tito Ortiz came to Kansas City and then, you know, talk with him for a little bit and being around him, I couldn't imagine him fighting again. And then a couple years later, they fight each other, and it's like, oh boy. And that's why Dana White was so pissed off. And again, you know, De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions just put that together just almost to spite the UFC as they tried to dip their toe in the MMA water. But mm-hmm. I mean, that was just two guys that neither one of them had any business being in the cage again fighting each other simply off the reputations made years before.
That's a dangerous sport to be engaging in if you're not prepared for it.
But I mean, two of the most fascinating personalities in combat sports history. So I can't wait to watch that tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it because I think you remember that stuff. I don't. I was not an MMA fan at the time. I did not follow UFC in the early stages of it. You've kind of brought me into the sport later on.
And I'll take you out of it, too.
And you'll take me right out of it. So I'm looking forward to watching that tonight because I like learning the backstory and the origin stories of, you know, look at how big UFC is now compared to back then when it was in its formative stages.
In its infancy. But that should be good stuff tonight. Again, watch it 8 o'clock on ESPN. Chuck and Tito will take a break back after this on WHB.